Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, a woman is charged with murdering her 8-year-old granddaughter, and a baby is in the hospital after a deadly shooting. A lot of breaking news developing right now across our area.
And I'm following big problems on the roads this morning. We have four trouble spots in Durham, Raleigh, Johnston County, and also over in Zebulon. I'll show you the delays and how to get around them.
I ran for president to fundamentally change things, to make sure our economy works for everyone.
President Biden and the Democrats have failed you.
Plus, dueling views on the state of our union. We have reaction from both sides of the aisle. A lot of news to get to this morning on your Wednesday morning. Thank you for being with us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, it's been a busy start as we get things going here. Hump day, we'll all get over it with a little bit of sunshine here. So
Yes. Maybe
we just take a breath and enjoy the heat coming on. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Not here just yet, but it's going to be nice later.
It is. Looking at temperatures climbing into the 70s this afternoon, and it's a lot warmer this morning than it was yesterday. We started in the upper 20s to right around freezing, mainly mid-40s right now. You will notice over downtown Durham some high thin cloud cover. We saw it yesterday. We'll see it again today, but it's not going to keep our temperatures from really reaching that 70 degree potential. It's 48 in South Hill, 46 in Goldsboro, 48 Southern Pines. Temperatures are continuing to warm up nicely, anywhere from 5 to almost 20 degrees warmer this morning than it was this time yesterday. And at lunchtime, temperatures will be close to 70. If you have a quick chance to just go outside and soak it in, it'll feel great. We'll top out around 72 mid-afternoon. And if you can't get outside until after work, temperatures are still mild in the mid-60s. I am tracking that system that's going to bring us rain Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then a newer development this morning for Sunday late. I'll show you that coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02 on the dot right now. Breaking news as we follow some big delays around the triangle. Starting off on 64 westbound, we have a crash just before you get to the Lizard Lick Road Bridge area. You can see the flashing lights there at the top of the screen just after you go over the Little River Bridge, and a 21-minute delay showing up on sensors right now from 96 in Zebulon out toward the Lizard Lick Road area. Zooming in there, you can see the delays on 64 begin around the 64-264 merge and extend all the way out to just before Lizard Lick Road. If you use 97 out to Lizard Lick Road to get to 64 westbound, that's going to save you probably about 10 minutes, but I'll warn you that sensors indicate delays are building on that westbound side of 97. We have another crash in West Raleigh on I-40 between Wade Avenue and Chapel Hill Road, and we're seeing delays in both directions. Those westbound delays are sort of merging in with the usual backups we see for this time of day, about an 8-minute slowdown overall from US 1 to Wade Avenue, but you're also going to run into some delays coming in from the Lake Wheeler Road area out toward US 1. And then some pretty heavy eastbound delays this morning, leaving the RTP and RDU exits heading back down toward Wade Avenue, about a 14-minute backup. Consider using 54 as a good alternate route out of RTP and Morrisville, heading between Raleigh, Cary, and Morrisville this morning. And if you're trying to get to westbound I-40 heading out to the airport, you might use 54 to Harrison Avenue to get around at least some of those delays. We're going to head into South Durham now, where we have another crash on 40 eastbound right around the 55 interchange. Delays begin around Fayetteville Road and extend all the way out toward 55. If you can use 54 to get to 55, you can pick up 40 eastbound on the other side of that 8-minute backup now, leaving Chapel Hill heading into South Durham. And finally, we have a crash heading out of Johnston County on 40 westbound between 42 and the Clayton Bypass. Once you get through the bypass, you're in good shape, but heading in from the McGee's Crossroads area and Cleveland this morning, you're going to run into those backups.
There's some tragic breaking news out of Nash County. We learned just before midnight a grandmother is charged with the beating death of her 8-year-old granddaughter. WRL's Laura Levine joins us from the Nash County Sheriff's Office with what investigators are confirming for us at this hour. Laura.
Yes, Jeff, the Nash County Sheriff's Office said that little girl, just 8 years old, had serious injuries throughout her entire body and head. They say that she was beat so severely by her grandmother that she died from those injuries. This is 72-year-old Patricia Ricks. An update from the Sheriff's Office just before midnight confirmed she is charged with first-degree murder and felony child abuse. The Sheriff's Office said the girl and her siblings lived with Ricks, who was her legal guardian. It all happened yesterday afternoon on Dutchman Road in Nashville. The sheriff's office said at about 4:30 p.m., the 8-year-old girl was taken to the ER at Nash UNC, where they say she was dead when she arrived. Authorities are holding Ricks at the Nash County Detention Center under no bond, and she is expected to make her first court appearance tomorrow. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Nash County.
Also breaking right now, a six-month-old baby is in the hospital and two adults are dead after a shooting inside a home. Police spent all night at the scene on Bunce Road in Fayetteville, only leaving after 3:30 this morning. Michael Grace is in the WREL Breaking News Tracker with what he's learned from investigators.
And police didn't leave the scene until 3:15 this morning, and I'm still working with them to get any sort of update about this baby girl. Dispatchers say they were 6 months old, they were shot multiple times, and that the two adults were dead once officers arrived on scene. I want to get you to this video from last night of that scene. The shooting happened inside a home in Bunce Road near Lagoon Drive. And as you can see, a massive operation around the house. The road was even shut down in both directions at one point. And our team said that they could hear people crying and screaming in the area, and neighbors they spoke with said there's been a number of shootings in the area over the past few months. This particular shooting is still an ongoing investigation. Again, we're still trying to work with the public information officer here in Fayetteville to get any sort of update on this baby girl and learn if they have a suspect at this time. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
President Biden is back on the road today, just hours after delivering his first State of the Union address to a divided Congress on Capitol Hill, where we have a live look for you right now. He'll be in Wisconsin today to discuss the economy, a big theme in his speech last night. Another focus was unity.
The people sent us a clear message. Fighting for the sake of fighting, power for the sake of power, conflict for the sake of conflict gets us nowhere. That's always been my vision of our country, and I know it's many of yours. To restore the soul of this nation, to rebuild the backbone of America, America's middle class, and to unite the country. We've been sent here to finish the job, in my view.
The president vowed to cooperate with Republicans, but offered no concessions. He called on them to support tax increases on the wealthy and extend social aid to the needy.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders also focused on the economy as she delivered the Republican response to President Biden's address overnight.
In the radical left's America, Washington taxes you and lights your hard-earned money on fire. But you get crushed with high gas prices, empty grocery shelves, and our children are taught to hate one another on account of their race.
Sanders also called for a new generation of leadership. She's currently the nation's youngest governor, elected just last year. And we have a lot more to cover on the State of the Union. In the next 10 minutes here, new reaction from North Carolina political leaders on the president's speech. And in our next half hour, a tense moment between two Republicans just before the address.
We have some breaking news from overseas to tell you about. We're getting a new look at rescues from Turkey and Syria as the death toll climbs from that massive earthquake. You can see a 10-year-old girl being pulled up from some of that rubble there and taken to an ambulance. She's one of thousands of people rescued since the earthquake earlier this year. But in the last 2 hours, as we look at this live picture right here, we have learned that the number of dead is now more than 11,000. Officials say that number will rise because many areas still have not gotten any help at all. That makes it the world's deadliest earthquake in more than 10 years. The president of Turkey has declared a three-month-long state of emergency.
Today, a judge will decide whether authorities can release body cam video showing the moments a man died in Raleigh police custody. WREL's Naya Harden joins us from the Raleigh Police Department with what we could see in the video if the release is approved, Naya.
Well, if the judge approves this body cam footage to be released, we could see it as early as Friday. That's according to the city manager who addressed the city council members yesterday. The five-day report from police detailed the interaction between police and Darrell Williams. We spoke to a law expert about what we could expect to see once the footage is released. Defense attorney Lee Turner says based on the report from police, it will be chaos and it will be fast.
It will probably show the initial approach to Mr. Williams in that parking lot as they're doing the proactive patrol. And then you'll get to see that interaction. And then I think at that point in time, that's when you're going to see it turn into just chaos.
Officers used a taser on Darrell Williams several times before he died. They say Williams resisted arrest and ran from police after officers saw drugs and alcohol in his car. Several community activists have spoken against the handling of the arrest. The SBI criminal investigation is still ongoing. We'll keep you updated on what the judge decides. Nia Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
LeBron stands alone!
Yes, he does. LeBron James makes history in the NBA. How he spent his first moments after breaking a scoring record held for nearly 40 years.
Plus, the steps Wake County school leaders want to take now in the wake of that wave of threats and lockdowns across the district.
Blue sky across our area today. Here's a live look at Chapel Hill. Just a little bit of high, thin cloud cover, but it's not going to keep us from reaching the 70s this afternoon. I'll show you specifically how warm it'll be this afternoon where you are coming up.
Eight 13 is the time right now, and it's a live look right now from our WRL Lifecam Network in Zebulon. Good morning to you. Waking up to that bright sunshine, mostly blue skies. We'll mix in a couple clouds with it. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a good Wednesday ahead.
A nice one. Today could be the warmest day and the brightest day of the week. We'll see some high, thin clouds out there for today. Tomorrow will be cloudier, but just as warm. So if you're looking to get out in the sunshine, today's going to be your day. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking good this morning. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant here. We do have another system that rolls in. It's going to be rainy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we have two dry days before that system arrives late on Thursday. As a matter of fact, during the evening commute Thursday, we may already see a few showers. An isolated thunderstorm when the front approaches on Friday, and then that front stalls and waves of rain are going to ride along it all the way through Sunday evening. We take a look at what's happening right now. Lots of thunder and lightning with the low that's moving across Texas up into Oklahoma. Not as much happening on the northern end of this front, but eventually it helps to bring us some rain. High pressure rotating clockwise brings that warmth in. That flow coming out of the south bumps our temperatures today into the 70s as well as tomorrow. And then the front crosses the Mississippi Valley during the day on Thursday. There's Thursday at 6 a.m. and you can see it's nice and dry. But at 6 p.m., there's a hint of a little shower, and there could be some scattered showers for Friday at 6 a.m. As we get through the day, that rain really intensifies. Could be a few scattered thunderstorms. Looks like a very wet evening commute. Here's Saturday at 7 a.m. Saturday right now, if we were to take it really literally, a lot of the rain on Saturday is from the Triangle area southward and eastward. But watch what happens after 5 o'clock. It really starts to build northward, and some of that rain could be heavy at times. It's likely to change over to snow in the mountains, and some of the models are hinting at that changeover for our viewing area, but it rarely happens that way. If we're going to get wintry precipitation, typically we have to have the cold air in place, and then the precipitation moves in on top of it, and that's not what's going to happen. We're going to have our rainy Sunday, and then the cold air will be chasing it. You can see this latest run of the computer models just shows rain for us, but some of the other runs recently and some of the other model runs are showing a hint of that, so it's something that we're watching closely. It looks like we could see some significant rain. I mean, we're talking 3 days, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So from the Triangle area southward, those red color contours are approaching 3 inches. Our northern counties could see closer to an inch to an inch and a half. It does look like it's going to be wet as you're headed out the door to your Super Bowl party on Sunday, with temperatures in the mid-40s. Of course, very nice there in Glendale, Arizona. We're looking at wet conditions really all through the weekend. We'll likely drop down to freezing potentially by Monday morning, but it's likely to happen after the precipitation's out of here. Monday and Tuesday look nice and dry. Tuesday looks pretty good at 62, Brian.
8:16 right now, and it is a busy morning. We have four big trouble spots right now with crashes causing some major backups. Going to start off in Zebulon with that crash on 64 westbound. Just beyond the Green Pace Road bridge heading out toward Lizard Lick Road, it looks like we still have the two lanes blocked out there, traffic getting by on the right shoulder. A 23-minute delay showing up on sensors. It still looks like 97 out of Zebulon is going to be your best bet, saving you at least 10 minutes, but we are still seeing some very heavy westbound delays heading out toward Lizard Lick Road. Take Lizard Lick Road to 64 westbound, and you'll be on the other side of those delays. If you're coming in from Franklin or Nash County, 64 and 264 also are pretty badly backed up before you even get to 96 in Zebulon. As we check in on the west side of Raleigh, still have that crash reported between the Wade Avenue and Chapel Hill Road interchanges right around the Trinity Road area. On the westbound side of I-40, a 7-minute delay from US 1 to Wade Avenue, but even heavier delays coming out of South Raleigh. And now we're up to a 20-minute delay as you leave the 540 area heading toward Wade Avenue. You want to consider using 54 maybe as a good alternate route. In South Durham, new information about this crash on I-40 eastbound right around the 55 interchange. Taking a look at that camera from Barbie Road, it looks like they have the ramp blocked from 40 eastbound onto NC 55. We're seeing a 12-minute delay now from 15501 out to 885. Use 54 as your alternate route this morning. And coming in from Johnston County, we have a crash blocking a lane of 40 westbound just before the Clayton bypass. Slow from 42 through the bypass.
All right. Thank you, Brian. New this morning, we're hearing from Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina after President Biden's State of the Union speech. He accused the president of reckless spending and failing to secure the border.
America faces monumental challenges, and we can't afford more bad policies from this administration. I hope President Biden will accept the reality that America is in need of a new direction, and I hope he will work across the aisle in good faith to get our country back on track.
Democrats from North Carolina, meanwhile, praised the president's speech. Congresswoman Deborah Ross, who represents most of Wake County, called his address, quote, a powerful message of unity.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to take you to these live pictures right now coming in from the UK Parliament, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing the UK Parliament. Before this address, Zelensky met with the UK Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street. That Prime Minister is also in the audience. He's also expected to meet with King Charles. In this speech, he's been telling these lawmakers in the UK that he's appealing for more aid to fight Russian troops. He also made parallels to the UK's history and Ukraine's current fight for freedom. He referred to Russia as evil, and he says freedom will win, Russia will lose.
Ken, thanks for that. New on Fox 50, a 23-year-old man will make his first appearance in court today, nearly 3 months after a murder in Hope Mills. Deputies with the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office arrested Tyler Culbreth yesterday. He is charged with first-degree murder in the death of 26-year-old Jeffrey Kane. Kane was found shot to death in this neighborhood on State Street back on November 15th. Investigators have not said how or if Kane and Culbreth knew each other.
Funding for school safety and new laws requiring guns to be stored safely. That's what Wake County School Board is calling for after a wave of lockdowns and social media threats. One member suggested the state should require schools to track data on school threats. The board says next year there will be a background check system for any visitors to schools in Wake County, but some think even more should be done.
Specifically talking about metal detectors, I'm not prepared to be able to say, you know, we're going to do this today or we're looking at that today, but I think everything is on the table.
The district security director is also considering a new tip line to report possible threats. The school board plans to meet later this month to discuss these ideas.
It could still be days before families are allowed to return home near the site of a train derailment on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania. Investigators there say they need more data on the air and water quality before they lift evacuation orders. That's a concern because officials released toxic chemicals on board the derailed train that were at risk of exploding.
Everybody's, you know, going over that information right now. We want to get the residents back in their home. We, you know, I hate that, you know, we had to pull the residents out of our home. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, the train first went off its tracks Friday and its cargo burned for several days. It's still not clear what caused the derailment, but a class action lawsuit has already been filed accusing the train company of negligence.
People who join in on riots here in North Carolina could soon face harsher punishments for damaging property. State lawmakers are considering a bill to increase charges against anyone who also uses a weapon or hurts someone during a riot. That bill is expected to pass committee and advance to the full House today. Opponents say it will deter people from exercising First Amendment rights. Governor Roy Cooper vetoed a similar bill last year. Advocacy groups, including the ACLU of North Carolina, plan to speak against it today.
Well, this was certainly breaking the internet overnight. There is a new king of scoring in the NBA.
Coming to the end of the third quarter, LeBron James has shot at history.
That was it, the moment LeBron James broke the NBA's all-time scoring record. It was just before midnight out on the West Coast. The excitement led officials to pause the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. James has passed 38,388 career points now, beating the record held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for nearly 40 years. And Kareem was on site for the game.
It's
To be able to be in the presence of such a legend and great as Kareem, it means so much to me. It's very humbling. Please give a standing ovation to the captain, please.
But it was LeBron's night. He added a couple more points, finished with 38 for the game. The Lakers weren't up to the task. They dropped the contest. In our next half hour, we'll hear from LeBron's family about his new record.
I mean, awesome. It's LeBron James.
Yeah.
So I don't think most people are that surprised that something like this happened. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible, but it's LeBron James.
I'm surprised.
Are you?
Because I covered him in Ohio in high school when he was 17 and got drafted into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew he was destined for greatness.
Right.
But did you really know he'd be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA? That was pretty cool.
Now we know.
Neat to see it.
Yes.
You know, that suspected spy balloon from China may be part of a much larger scheme. Still ahead, U.S. investigators show us just how common these surveillance devices may actually be.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Good Wednesday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. Tracking a couple of backups around our area traffic-wise. Brian Schrader is here with the latest, Brian.
It's a rough morning out there with a lot of delays. Let's show you the biggest ones affecting your commute right now as we take a look at the west side of Raleigh. A crash on I-40 right around Wade Avenue this morning has closed the two right lanes between Wade and the Chapel Hill Road interchange. Heavy delays on that eastbound side and the westbound side this morning. On the westbound side, about a 7-minute backup between US 1 and Wade Avenue, and now about a 16-minute delay on 40 eastbound from 540 down to Wade Avenue. Also still tracking delays on 64 westbound, leaving Zebulon, about a 23-minute slowdown overall, use Highway 97.
Brian, that Zebulon backup looks like it's been here like for hours now, doesn't it? Looking at bright skies and mild temperatures, 46 in Rocky Mount, 45 in Durham, 45 in Raleigh. We'll see sunshine all day, mixed with a little bit of high, thin cloud cover. Our temperatures stepping out the door across the viewing area are in the mid to upper 40s right now. We'll jump to 70 at lunchtime and then 72 for our high this afternoon. Walking the dogs this evening, temperatures should still be in the mid 60s. We are still on track for a rainy weekend.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Breaking news, this 72-year-old woman in Nash County is facing murder charges this morning after deputies say she beat her 8-year-old granddaughter to death. Investigators say Patricia Ricks was the girl's legal guardian, and they all lived together with her siblings. A motive has not been released. And we'll find out today if body camera video showing the death of a man in Raleigh police custody will be released. A judge will decide whether to release the video showing officers using a taser on Darrell Williams. Raleigh city manager says if the judge signs off, the video could be out this Friday. Next on Fox 50, what investigators are revealing about a late-night shooting that killed two people and sent a baby to the hospital. And ahead on today, debunking some common medical myths.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're tracking breaking news across our area now on Fox 50. From the arrest of a 72-year-old in the murder of her own granddaughter to a double deadly shooting that also sent a baby to the hospital, we have you covered.
Plus, dramatic new video shows the moments a young boy and his mother are pulled from the rubble as the death toll rises after that powerful earthquake in Turkey and Syria.
And a rough morning commute for a lot of people in the Triangle. I'm tracking four big delays, and I'll show you the extent of the backups and how to get around them coming up.
We've reached 8:30 together. We are glad you're making us part of your routine here on a Wednesday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. I mean, 70 degrees and sunny today.
Yeah.
For a Wednesday.
Not terrible.
That's nice. That's a nice way to, you know, be in the middle of the week. It's hump day. We're halfway through and it's some nice weather. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here with their temperatures now, but that's going to warm up.
It is. It feels nicer this morning, too, than it did yesterday. Yesterday, we started off upper 20s to low 30s, which is actually pretty close to normal. It's 45 right now. The beautiful look at downtown Durham. We're seeing just a few high, thin clouds, and we'll see that for the rest of the day today. We saw it yesterday, too. Southwest wind keeps warming us up, though. That southwesterly wind at about 5 miles per hour right now, and that will warm our temperatures into the 70s today and tomorrow. Right now, 47 in Fayetteville, 48 Goldsboro. It's 51 now in South Hill. Usually, South Hill's not our warmest spot on on the map, but it is today. Take a look at the 24-hour temperature change, anywhere from as little as 5 degrees in Clinton to 20 degrees warmer in South Hill than it was this time yesterday. Hour by hour, we jump to 70 by lunchtime. If you have some time during your lunch break to just get outside and soak it in, I always recommend that. 72 for the high. The evening temperature is still looking good at 6 o'clock, 64 degrees. Tomorrow stays mostly dry, but we could see some rain by the evening commute, and then it's wet for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll talk about the timeline and some of the totals coming up, Brian.
All right, 8:32 right now as we follow breaking news with a lot of crashes around the Triangle causing some big delays this morning. Going to start off on the west side of Raleigh where we have a crash that's blocking two right lanes of 40 eastbound right around the Wade Avenue interchange. Heavy delays on that eastbound side of I-40 leaving the airport area and also on westbound I-40. Getting a live update of those sensors, a 9-minute slowdown overall between US 1 and Wade Avenue on the westbound side of I-40. And then from 540 in the airport back toward Wade Avenue, you're looking at about 7 minutes of delays. Consider using 54 maybe as a good alternate route through Cary. Still looking at big problems over in the Zebulon area with a crash on 64 westbound just beyond the Green Pace Road Bridge just before you get to Lizard Lick Road. There in the distance, you can see where they have closed both lanes. Traffic is getting by on the right shoulder as far as we can tell. The backups begin before you get to Highway 96 in Zebulon, but from 96 out toward Lizard Lick Road, you're looking at a 23-minute backup. Best alternate route this morning is going to be Highway 97 to Lizard Lick Road, and then from there you can rejoin 64 westbound and continue on your way into Nightdale. Other problems that we're following around the Triangle: on the south side of Durham, 40 eastbound at Highway 55, a crash that appears to have the ramp closed there, that ramp from 40 eastbound onto 55, as we look at that from the Barbie Road camera just to the west of Highway 55. An 18-minute delay showing up on those sensors leaving Chapel Hill this morning. Use 54 to Highway 55 as your alternate route. And finally, as you head out of Johnston County on 40 westbound, a crash blocking a lane just before the Clayton bypass. Some delays this morning between 42 and the bypass, but it looks like this is starting to clear up a little bit.
All right, thank you, Brian. We have some breaking news out of Nash County. We've learned just before midnight a grandmother is charged with beating her 8-year-old granddaughter to death. WRAL's Laura Levine shows us what investigators are confirming this morning.
The new details in this case are very disturbing. The Nash County Sheriff's Office said the little girl, just 8 years old, had serious injuries throughout her entire body and head. She was beat so severely by her grandmother that she died from those injuries. This is 72-year-old Patricia Ricks. An update from the Sheriff's Office just before midnight confirmed she is charged with first-degree murder and felony child abuse. The Sheriff's Office said the girl and her siblings lived with Ricks, who was her legal guardian. It all happened yesterday afternoon on Dutchman Road in Nashville. The sheriff's office said about 4:30 p.m. is when the 8-year-old girl was taken to the ER at Nash UNC, where they say she was dead when she arrived. And Ricks is being held at the Nash County Detention Center under no bond. She is set to appear for her first court appearance tomorrow. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Nash County.
Also breaking right now, a 6-month-old baby is in the hospital and two adults are dead after a shooting inside a home. Police spent all night at the scene on Bunce Road in Fayetteville, leaving around 3:30 this morning. They haven't said how the baby who was shot is doing or named the adults who died. WRL Breaking News Tracker was there working to get answers, and we'll bring you updates on air and online as soon as we get them.
President Biden is back on the road today, just hours after delivering his first State of the Union address to a divided Congress on Capitol Hill. That's where you're looking live. He'll be in Wisconsin to discuss the economy, a big theme in his speech last night.
2 years ago, the economy was reeling. I stand here tonight after we've created, with the help of many people in this room, 12 million new jobs, more jobs created in 2 years than any president's created in 4 years. And to my Republican friends, if we could work together the last Congress, there's no reason we can't work together and find consensus on important things in this Congress as well.
Experts say the speech shows that Mr. Biden will run for re-election in 2024. However, recent surveys show nearly 60% of Democrats want someone else to run in his place.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders had much harsher words for the president as she delivered the Republican response to his address overnight.
President Biden is unwilling to defend our border, defend our skies, and defend our people. He is simply unfit to serve as commander in chief. And while you reap the consequences of their failures, The Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. In the radical left's America.
Sanders also called for a new generation of leadership. She is currently the nation's youngest governor, elected just last year. Still a lot more to cover from the State of the Union address, and in the next 15 minutes, the trending moments and some of the drama from last night's address. You can always find full coverage on WRAL.com and on our news app.
And now to breaking news overseas. We're getting a dramatic new look on Fox 50 of an early morning rescue in Turkey. You see it here. You can see a young boy and his mother being pulled out of the rubble of a building that massive earthquake collapsed earlier this week. First responders say they've rescued thousands of people in Turkey and Syria. But we've learned this morning the death toll from that quake has grown above 11,000. That makes this the deadliest earthquake in the world since 2011. Officials say the number of dead will rise as many areas are still waiting for help.
Today, a judge will decide whether authorities can release body camera video showing the moments a man died while in Raleigh police custody. WRL's Nia Harden is at the Raleigh Police Department with what we could see in the video if its release is approved.
Well, if the judge approves this body cam footage to be released, we could see it as early as Friday. That's according to the city manager who addressed the city council members yesterday. The five-day report from police detailed the interaction between police and Daryl Williams. Officers used a taser on Daryl Williams several times before he died. They say Williams resisted arrest and ran from police after officers saw drugs and alcohol in his car. Several community activists have spoken against the handling of the arrest. The SBI criminal investigation is still ongoing. We'll keep you updated on what the judge decides. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
As questions grow over the Daryl Williams case, some other advocates are calling for a temporary halt to the use of taser weapons by Raleigh police. The executive director of Emancipate NC addressed city council last night.
Tasers are only non-lethal weapons when used according to the written policy and procedures. Flagrant disregard of those policies transforms non-lethal weapons into instruments of death.
After that speech, City Council voted to look into the issue further.
A push for change in North Carolina classrooms is getting some serious pushback.
This bill does harm. Full stop.
Just ahead, the growing concerns about a student privacy bill that's advancing quickly in the General Assembly.
Hey, kid. Congratulations on becoming the NBA's all-time leading scorer. I have to say it goes
on. Oh, proud mama right there. LeBron James's mom reacts to his big record-breaking night in the NBA when she says she knew her son would be a superstar.
And the temperatures just keep on rising. As you take a live look here at Zebulon, bathed in sunshine, love that. We're also tracking a lot of rain in the 7-day forecast. We'll tell you how that will affect your weekend coming up.
Welcome back on your Wednesday, looking over a nice Sanford, pretty blue sky, some sunshine. Temperatures in the mid-40s right now, but they will be warming up later for a beautiful day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here with a look over RDU. Not a bad day to travel, Elizabeth.
Now, weather's really pretty perfect out there, especially for this time of year. Notice we do have some high thin clouds. We saw this yesterday. It's not going to change how the weather feels. It's still going to feel fairly sunny, but you'll notice it just looks like a bit of milky sunshine. 45 is our temperature. As you're heading out the door, it's been a good bit warmer this morning than it was this time yesterday. We'll jump to nearly 70 degrees at lunchtime, making it nice to get outside if you have that opportunity during your lunch hour. We're not usually talking about that until much later in the year, maybe April or May, but we've got that potential today, certainly. A look at our highs, almost everybody looking at low 70s, potentially upper 60s for, say, Roxborough and South Hill. And we take a look at our big warm-up. Our temperatures will continue to be well above normal for the next few days. This is where the temperatures are above normal. This is where temperatures are below normal. They're in the blue. And gradually, we start to see that warmth sliding out of here. We'll notice a cool down starting Friday and definitely over the weekend. 54 is our normal high. 72 today, 73 on Thursday. And then the temperatures start to step down. Friday will be a wet day. And we're looking at a good bit of rain on Saturday and Sunday as well. And Sunday's really going to be chilly in the 40s with scattered showers. Near record warmth, though, for today and tomorrow. Today will be about 5 degrees from the record tomorrow, almost right on it. Looking at a forecast of 73, could be set. The previous record was 74, and then 75 for the forecast in Fayetteville, and the record is 75. Take a look at this. This is a look at our potential to see spring arriving early in the form of leaves starting to pop out. Let's zoom in on North Carolina, and you can see much of our viewing area has the potential to see the leaves popping out as much as 20 days early. Now, where's all this information coming from? This is run by the National Phenology Network, and they do computer model runs. They look at how warm it was in January. We had the third warmest January on record. We've had a lot of warm days here in February, and it looks like we may continue to see warm days. And so this is a forecast for how early spring may come. Some of the groundhogs just might have been correct. Of course, we've seen a warming trend over the last, 30, 40 years. Between 1970 and 2022, we've seen 23 fewer nights below freezing on an annual basis. That's pretty significant. Now, we'll all, a lot of us anyway, we'll enjoy 70s today and tomorrow. Nice to get outside in the middle of winter. The flip side of that is we'll have a potentially longer mosquito season. We may have a longer pollen season and a shorter ski season, which could affect folks who live up in the mountains in terms of the economy and those ski resorts and, just us who want to have some fun out there. Friday, Saturday, Sunday all look wet. Heading out to your Super Bowl party could be wet on Sunday, likely to be, but it does look like we'll dry out again on Monday and Tuesday. It looks like a dry Valentine's Day if you're taking your sweetie out, Brian.
All right. It is now 8:46. Let's get you up to date with our situation in the eastern part of Wake County on 64 westbound. Still have traffic squeezing by that crash just beyond the Little River Bridge. Still looking at about a 24-minute delay as you head out of Zebulon back toward Knightdale. The alternate route that we're suggesting this morning should save you about 10 minutes. Use 97 out to Lizard Lick Road, and then from there you can rejoin 64 westbound on the other side of those big backups. And the delays now extend all the way back before the 64-264 merge on both 64 and 264. So coming in from Franklin County and Nash County, you're going to run into those backups. Still dealing with some problems on the west side of Raleigh. A crash on 40 eastbound right around Wade Avenue. Right lane is blocked. I've been able to open one of those right lanes, and it's starting to ease up just a little bit. Still looking at a 5-minute delay, though, from 540 back toward Wade Avenue. We still have a crash at I-40 at Highway 55 in Durham. This is the camera at Barbie Road, and you can see there on that eastbound side, traffic is backed up. The ramp from 40 eastbound onto 55 is closed. That ramp apparently, or that crash is at the bottom of the ramp. An 8-minute delay showing up on that eastbound side of I-40. Use 54 to 55 as an alternate route, and also expect some delays on that southbound side of 55 approaching I-40.
We get your backdrop coverage now. The State of the Union address. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah is addressing a confrontation between him and fellow Republican George Santos just before the president's speech.
I don't know the exact words I said. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't be in the. Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there. Given the fact that he's under ethics investigation, he should be sitting in the back row and staying quiet.
Well, Romney's comments come as Santos, a junior congressman from New York, faces growing calls to resign. Santos has admitted to lying about much of his background and faces several investigations. Santos took to Twitter after the speech to insult Romney, saying he will, quote, never be president.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. Within the last 15 minutes, we learned that that 6-year-old in a deadly shooting who was shot and where two adults were also shot and killed. We've learned from our Fayetteville Bureau reporter, Gilbert Bays, who just confirmed with Fayetteville Police that that baby has died. Police have not released the names of the two adults who died or the baby's identity, but this was the scene on Bunce Road all morning long. As we continue to follow this breaking news, of course, we'll have any new developments online and on air.
6 months old. What a tragedy. An effort to force North Carolina teachers to tell parents about changes to their child's name or gender is moving forward now. The state Senate just approved the bill and it now heads to the House. Supporters say they see change as the needed one. to stop schools from keeping secrets. Critics say it puts a target on the backs of LGBTQ students who are afraid of their safety at home. Now, the sponsor of the bill says teachers don't have the right to hide information from parents.
Parents are the primary decision makers with respect to their minor children, not their school or even the children themselves.
We all want to solve problems for our constituents. But first, we should do no harm. This bill does harm. Full stop.
Lisa Grafstein is the only LGBTQ state senator. As for the bill's next steps, Republicans in the state house say they'll likely craft their own version.
The city of Raleigh will host the next in its series of discussions about housing tonight. The Missing Middle Initiative would change zoning to add more duplexes, townhomes, and small apartments. Tonight's meeting will be virtual. You can register on the city's website.
A Chinese spy balloon shot down off the coast of South Carolina may be part of an extensive surveillance program. Several outlets are reporting U.S. intelligence officials believe a fleet of balloons has conducted at least two dozen missions in recent years, including about a half dozen within our airspace. China claims the balloon that flew over the U.S. last week was a weather balloon that blew off course. They accuse the White House of overreacting, and China is also calling for the debris from that balloon to be returned to them.
Police say the man accused of stealing monkeys from the Dallas Zoo plans to steal more if he's released from jail. Officers say 24-year-old Davion Irwin admitted to taking two Tamarin monkeys from the Dallas Zoo last month. Those animals were later found in a closet at an abandoned home. Police say Irwin admitted to cutting the fenced enclosure for a leopard at the zoo earlier this month. He was arrested last week after employees at the World Aquarium in Dallas say he was asking questions about their monkeys.
And more of that breaking news from overnight. LeBron James is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He broke the record with this shot in the third quarter of last night's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Gave him 38,388 career points. That is outdoing the record held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for nearly 40 years. The game was put on hold for just a few minutes to allow for this brief celebration on court. And overnight, James' mom shared her excitement.
Hey, kid, congratulations on becoming the NBA's all-time leading scorer. I have to say it goes all the way back to he's like 2.5, 3 years old. Still in pull-ups, and he received his little type basketball hoop for Christmas, and he was just determined to play basketball on it at his highest height, which was twice his height.
Hey, that's how the great ones are made, right? James also received shout-outs overnight from NBA legends, including Magic Johnson. And he just hasn't stopped dunking since, I guess.
Wow.
Right?
Proud mama and proud fans, too. It's amazing. An 8-year-old student nominated for our teacher of the week. She said she wished that she could have her for every grade. WRL's Brian Schrader meets a Nash County educator who says she loves her students as if they were her own.
Ow.
Lori Bridger spent 12 years as a teacher's assistant before going back to school to become a teacher herself.
I tell my children every year, I am your school mama, because that's how I feel. When you're here, you're mine, and I'm going to love you like you're mine.
Bridgers teaches second graders at Cooper Elementary in Elm City, and she says she and many other teachers around the state are frustrated.
We come into this classroom, and we see children that are hungry, that are so tired they can't hold their heads up. We see them as people. And we feel like at times, to the state, they're nothing more than a test score.
Bridgers and her colleagues have spent a lot of time this year teaching the foundational skills that students may have missed in remote learning.
As a teacher, we're doing everything that we can possibly do to get them to where they need to be for third grade.
How are you feeling about it?
Stressed, but that's okay. That's part of teaching. It does get a little overwhelming at times, but again, that's what we're here for.
Lori Bridgers is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
You can look at all of our honor teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WRAL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. And we'll get another check on weather and traffic next.